Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Hey, what's up, folks? Welcome to another Friday live stream right here on Texas Football. I'm Lifetime Longhorn Rod Babers, joined by Lifetime Longhorn CJ Vogel and Lifetime Longhorn Bobby Burton. We'll get to a lot on the show, of course. Busy recruiting weekend for the Longhorns, so we'll get to all those news, notes, and nuggets out of the recruiting visits coming up this weekend. Also, all of your questions or comments, please throw them out there. We'll answer as many of the questions as we can. Super chances up to the front of the line. They'll interrupt the show at any time, so we are grateful for the super chat. So throw those out there as well if you got any questions that are a top priority for us. But first, let's introduce the crew. Bobby, how you doing, brother? How's everything going?
I'm good, man. I'm out here on the West Coast on a little family vacation, but been talking football every morning on Coffee and Football. CJ Vogel there, Rod. He's the one he looks like he's driving a car, but really he's at the airport, Rod. Waiting for all these official visitors to come in. CJ, what kind of news you got, bud?
Yeah, Jerry and I have been out here this afternoon. Of course, Texas expected to have 16 official visitors this weekend. A big weekend opportunity for the Longhorns, of course, to build on what we saw a week ago. The Lamborghinis are already out at DKR at Moncrief. So folks are, excited. Coming in, we just spoke to a number of prospects coming in this weekend as well. W.A. Jones, I'm right there with you. When do I get in a Lamborghini? That's a great question. But no, we're having a good time out here, of course. Big news, and we'll start with this. We just spoke with Brandon Brown, the Texas commit out of Ugaliah, Florida. He just arrived with his sister and his mother for his official visit weekend here in Austin. The big news comes next weekend. He will be officially visiting Oklahoma. That was a change. Originally, it was between Miami and USC. I believe USC was one that was reported by a number of outlets. It's going to be Oklahoma instead. That's a brand new official visit for Brandon Brown. He'll be heading up to Norman next week for June 21st through 23rd.
That's interesting, CJ. That is very interesting. Who else have you seen come through, and what have you seen so far?
Yeah, we were able to speak to a number of guys. Dalen McCutcheon made it in with his family. I got to speak with him. He's excited for the weekend. He'll be hosted by Parker Livingstone. Of course, that Lovejoy connection, it makes sense. The Corian Moore and his brother and family, they made it into town as well. We got to see Nick Brooks. This was my first time seeing Nick Brooks in person, Bobby. And we talk about big humans, and we throw that phrase around when it comes to offensive line recruiting. Nick Brooks might have been the biggest human I've seen so far over the last cycle or two. That kid is a monster. And so you get to see it there. That's about 6'7", 350, walking up the steps at Bergstrom International Airport. So really impressive looking prospect. Of course, we just talked to Brandon Brown as well as Marco Jones, who a big-time baseball player as well. Lance Jackson already on campus for the Longhorns this weekend. He was at practice, got to watch the morning workouts with Sarkisian and the staff. Two big-time baseball players at the edge position. I'm making sure that those two are in connection this weekend. Marco said that he's headed back Sunday morning to go straight to Irvine from his flight back from Austin to go play in a baseball tournament Sunday afternoon. So gives you an indication of exactly where he stands in his two-sport ability. But really talented prospects on the edge as well. Jerry's awaiting a flight in from Atlanta to see Kevin Wynn right now as well.
All right. Good stuff there, CJ. Appreciate that. A little update. Let me ask you guys this. After the last big recruiting weekend, yeah, the Lambos and everything got all the attention. I'm glad they're out again. But the Longhorns got the commitment of Caleb Chester after that weekend. Is there anybody that you guys are feeling more confident about in terms of, hey man, they may be able to seal one of these after the recruiting visit, kind of like they did with Caleb Chester?
I think good. That's a great question because Rod, you're right. You get that halo effect, you know, afterglow of a visit.
Yes, exactly.
How long does it sustain itself, right?
Yep.
The other ones that were in town last week, let's just run down them. Tanook Hines, a wide receiver out of Spring to Caney. Michael Terry, an athlete out of San Antonio's Alamo Heights. Myron Charles, defensive lineman out of Port Charlotte, Florida. Caleb Edwards, a big tight end out of California. And Javion Hilson, a defensive end out of Cocoa, Florida. Based on what I'm seeing right now, Texas remains in it for Tanook Hines, although he's visiting Notre Dame as we speak, is my understanding. Michael Terry, a young man out of Alamo Heights, is already on an official visit to A&M. Texas remains in it with Charles Edwards. And then two that I do want to mention, Texas allegedly, and what we're hearing, had a tremendous visit with Josiah Sharma, the defensive lineman out of Folsom, California, that, look, Rod, Jerry compares him to Sean Rogers. That's who Jerry compares Sharma to. Now, he's visiting Oregon this weekend, and he finishes it up with a visit to Alabama. So that's a big one. But Texas really, we're hearing, hit a home run on that. Okay. The other one that they did better than anticipated with that seems to have some legs, to your point, is Javion Hilson out of a defensive end edge out of Cocoa, Florida. He is a Texas-Florida State battle right now. Florida State has been very confident in this. He's committed to FSU. But I'm just telling you, Texas, they did some damage to Florida State on that one. We'll see exactly where things come out. But, yes, there's my point being there's that afterglow is still glowing a little bit. Maybe a couple of guys you're wondering what's going on, but the majority of them is still very much in effect.
All right. Thanks for that, Bobby. Good stuff there. All right. A couple of questions here. First one from Rick. Let's stay on the recruiting topics for now. We'll get to some of the other stuff. Rick wants to know, is Kevin Wynn perhaps the top of the D tackles Texas is recruiting?
That's a good question. Very top. Go ahead, CJ. I'm sorry.
That's a great question. I have to imagine keeping Brandon Brown in your class right now is a top of the priority list for Kenny Baker, for Steve Sarkisian as well. I mean, it's the implication of losing a possible current commit to a former coach at a SEC rival, right? That to me is the top of the priority list. If you're Steve Sarkisian and Kenny Baker holding on to Brandon Brown, of course, Kevin Wynn is a very talented kid coming in this weekend as well. He's amongst my favorite of this defensive tackle bunch as well. We saw Myron Charles and Josiah Sharma come in a week ago. Of course, Zion Williams is going to be a very important official visit this month as well. Probably the top in-state guy. We haven't seen Texas, kind of tackle that interior defensive line spot inside the state of Texas this cycle. Zion Williams is really just that one guy who is it? DJ Sanders that's coming in June 21st and 23rd as well. So I like Kevin Wynn a lot. He's probably, 1B, 1C, my favorite interior defensive prospects this cycle.
All right. Thanks for that, CJ. Thanks for the question, Rick. We appreciate that. All right. We'll get to a couple other ones, but actually AJJ_sports wants to know, and I don't know how this works because I know Jerry is usually in control of the highs and the little emojis. I have no idea how that works. He wants to know AJJ_sports over under on 1.5 highs after this weekend. There you go. These are secret recruiting messages. I don't know you.
It is indeed a secret recruit. Okay. You got to use your decoder ring that you get in the mail for it, Rod. So, okay. Jerry and I talked about it along with Blake Monroe on this morning's Coffee and Football. Jerry thinks it's reasonable that Texas comes out with 3 commitments from this weekend. Now, he thinks they're going to be what we would call silent commitments, not necessarily guys announcing while they're in Austin, et cetera, but maybe a day or two, 3 days later after they return home, right? Because, frankly, we're starting to get down to the nitty-gritty a little bit here. They only have one more official visit weekend after this one because the last week of June, you can't have any more official visits. So it's starting to get down to that time frame where guys are going to be making their decisions relatively soon. Now some won't. DeCorian Moore, for example, may wait until mid-July, early August to announce his decision. But my point on that is Jerry definitely said the question by AJJ is 1.5. Jerry's thinking 3 is the over-under on that total of guys that might actually move forward, Rod.
And that answers Jerry's question. Thank you, Jerry, for the question. How many silent commits do we have? I guess you can get into that. I don't know. It's one thing kind of also kind of in the recruiting world, you got to be in the know. How many silent commits does Texas have right now? Is that something that we would know?
How many right now? To our knowledge right now, there's none.
Okay.
There's none. Now, is there one as of this afternoon? Maybe we're going to be checking on this stuff, right? Could have been one late last night that we're checking on. There's a number of different pieces to this, but obviously, Rod, it's one of those things where we have to wait and see and actually talk to the players to confirm.
That's a new thing, though, right? Nobody was doing silent commitments when I was being recruited, right? This is a new thing. It's a social media thing. Can you explain to me? I feel like I'm not cool anymore. I feel like an old man. What is the silent? Explain to me what a silent commitment is, really. Just break it down for me.
Well, Rod, you are cool, so you don't have to worry about that. You're cool, man. It's when a player commits privately to the coach,
okay,
and the team, but then waits to announce at a ceremony or via Instagram or Twitter, one of those things. Right. So it has become more prevalent. There was no social media when Rod Babers was being recruited.
Okay.
And so, so that's sure why you don't know.
Yeah,
that's
okay. I got you. So that might have been like a silent commitment back in my day. We just didn't talk about it. That wasn't a term really for it.
Okay. Yes, exactly. Yeah, I mean, y'all probably told coaches ahead of time, and then somebody like myself called you on the phone and said, "Yeah, I committed to Texas." It was different, right? I mean, that was totally different. So,
hey, thank you guys. I appreciate that. UT boy, W.A. Jones. Look up Cool and Webster. It's a pick of Rodney. Hey, it used to be that case. Now, yeah, so trust me, I got a lot more in common with my dad. I didn't think my dad was cool back in the day, but now I do. As I get older, that's how I know I'm not that cool. All right. Speaking of, happy Father's Day.
I was going to say, it's going to be your first Father's Day, Rod B.
Yes. Yes, exactly. In case we forget, happy Father's Day to everybody out there, man. No doubt about it. We appreciate all the fathers out there. My first one as a father, but happy Father's Day to everybody out there. Okay. Shake and Bake wants to know who's hosting who on recruiting visits. I don't know if we know that information either, because that usually comes out after the visits. Am I right about that? I mean, you guys, once you get in contact with the players, I don't even know if they know beforehand until they get to campus. Maybe they do these days, but back in my day, you didn't really know that information until you got to campus and you saw, oh, this player is going to be hosting me, that kind of thing. So I don't know if we know that yet. Do we, guys?
We know a couple. Daniel Cruz will be hosting John Mills, the talented offensive lineman out of San Francisco, California. He's already on campus, got in early this morning to catch the morning workout as well. Of course, Parker Livingstone and Dalen McCutcheon, the Lovejoy connection there, it makes sense. And I'm not sure if it's officially a host, but you can expect them to spend a lot of time together. That's going to be DeCorian Moore and Colin Simmons, obviously having played at Duncanville last year, as well as, you know, DeCorian Moore coming out for the track meets this spring. It was Colin Simmons, first guy off the track that he was able to go in, kind of dap up and spend some time with after competing. So they're going to spend a lot of time with one another this weekend. And again, very similar recruitments in terms of Texas kind of staying in the mix. And of course, coming down to the official visits, that's when you really start to see a jump. I expect that to be the same case for DeCorian this cycle.
All right, good stuff there, CJ. Appreciate it. Super chat from Daniel Kinneman. Daniel, thank you very much. We appreciate that. Very grateful for your support. Says, would you rather UT? I love a would you rather. I love a good would you rather. Thank you, Daniel. Would you rather UT be 9-3 with losses to Michigan, Georgia, and Kentucky, or 10-2 with losses to OU and A&M? That is good. That is
that's good. Not even a question, Rod B.
So you think it's easy? Easy? You take the 10-2? You're taking the 10 wins, right?
I'd take 9-3 all day.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Well, it sounds like we got a 10-2 and then a 9-3. I was leaning 10-2.
I was kind of thinking like more wins, right? Bobby's like, hell no.
No. Texas needs to come back and beat OU this year. You know, A&M is going to be a hotly contested game. It doesn't matter. Texas needs to beat OU. I really believe that. Sark demolished them 2 years ago, lost a tight one his first year, obviously, and then last year lost another tight one. I think Texas needs to come back, especially with Jackson Arnold being a first-year starter for them. I think that's imperative to kind of set that rivalry on a stage that makes sense, Rod and CJ. Yeah. I would also say, as it relates to A&M, that game is just, 13 years in the making. I would much rather, bottom line, give me 9-3.
Yeah.
Give me 9-3 over 10-2 if Texas beats A&M and OU.
Bobby, that 10-2 offseason would be way longer than a 9-3 season, that's for sure. If you lose to both A&M and Oklahoma, that's for sure.
A&M. Yeah, exactly. That's what this is really about, CJ. This is about
– I've been swayed.
Yeah, this is about Bobby and the rest of our family here at On Texas Football not wanting to hear trash talk and ish talking from Aggies all off season long and from Sooners all off season long on social media and when they see them at work and everything like that. That's what this is really about. So, y'all know, because honestly, the truth is, if you're a 10-win team, you still – I'm thinking you're going to make the – you still got a chance to make the playoff, right? Good chance to make the playoff. 9 wins, you might be – I don't know if you're going to make the playoff, 9 wins. SEC team with 10 wins, you're probably going to make the playoff, right? Or no? See, Bobby don't care. He just don't want to lose the Aggies.
I think an SEC team could still make the playoff. I really do believe that.
Yeah, you're right. It's safer to say you'll make it with double digit wins in SC, but you're right about that. You can't be 1-3 versus Oklahoma. You can't be that's just a bad look. I don't give a damn. Ask Mac. Yo, Mac was winning 9-10 games, double digit games. We win 11 games, and y'all was dissatisfied because we was losing to Oklahoma every year. So I do understand that. And then rekindling the rivalry, that's big in Aggie Land, man. That's emotional for them. That's gonna be like a hell, man. It's gonna be like a religious experience for the Maggies. And they're going to be trying to exercise demons out there. They're going to rush the field if they beat Texas. You know they're going to rush the field. They don't give a damn how good or bad Texas is. So, yeah, I can see it from an emotional standpoint. I want them wins, though. I'm all about them dubs. I want them dubs, but I get it. Your rivals, they hold extra significance. And there you go. I'll admit when the people have spoken, all right? The people that spoken, they want 9-3. So thank you, Daniel, for the would you rather. They'd rather take that 9-3 all day, every day, and twice on Sunday rather than lose to their rivals. I get that too. All right, let's thank one of our sponsors before we continue here on our Friday live stream. We are very grateful to have our friends over at South Point Dodge on the On Texas Football team, and we really appreciate them being a part of the show and sponsoring the Friday live stream. So, Longhorn fans, if you want to score an easy point this season, you can get to the point at South Point Dodge. South Point Dodge has over 600 vehicles in stock, and their award-winning sales staff, they don't play games, and they're not about gimmicks at all, folks. They just want to get to the point by getting you the best deal possible. Also, you can score big at South Point because they're Austin's number one automotive everything. So if you're looking to sell your car, you can get South Point's best offer over the phone or online, and you can get top dollar for any make or model vehicle, even if you didn't buy it from our friends over at South Point Dodge. South Point Dodge is home of the real deal, whether you're getting the lowest price on the best new Ram trucks or making sure you get the best value for your old car. So visit them online at southpointdodge.com or visit them in person off I-35 in South Austin. Just get to the point with South Point Dodge. Thank you very much for your support. All right, getting back to the questions here, guys. We got a couple of more. Orlando wants to know, can you compare Marco Jones and Javion Hilson? Who's a better fit, Marco Jones or Javion Hilson? You guys just have been talking about Javion Hilson. CJ, I'll throw it to you. Who's a better fit?
Yeah, I think it's interesting because it's tough to compare when you watch the tapes, right? Marco Jones and his system out in California, he's been used often as a middle linebacker in his system. So he's an off-ball kind of middle of the defense look, which kind of gives you an idea of the instincts that he possesses at the moment. He's 6'5", 240. We just ran into him just now. Looks every bit of 6'5", I'll add that. If you saw the photo of Lance Jackson earlier with Sarkisian, that Jerry and our On Texas Football account put up on social media, my goodness, Lance Jackson, their body types look exactly what you want coming off the edge. Javion Hilson is very intriguing to me because you still have that size, but you still have enough room to kind of redistribute some weight for him as well. I like the length a little bit more for Marco Jones. I like that athleticism as a guy that's played the middle of the field. Javion Hilson, to me, I think his first step will be further along than what you'll see with Marco Jones. But again, it's all about getting after the quarterback for me as well. You see the long arms there. It looks like he's got the go-go gadget extended arms across his over to his dad's back over there. I really like Javion Hilson. I like what he brings to the table too. It's just kind of tough to compare off the high school tape because they're playing two completely different positions at the moment.
I was going to say Hilson is primarily a go forward guy at this point, whereas Jones has been asked to do more. It doesn't mean he's a better athlete though than Hilson. He's just been asked to do more. So it's hard to sit here and to CJ's point, it's hard to sit here and say, well, I like this one versus that one. I'm not sure they play the same position long. That's my bigger deal. I think Jones looks and looks more like a strong side defensive end, whereas Hilton looks more like a weak side defensive end edge rusher. That's the difference. So I don't know that they're one or the other in that category.
Yeah. Okay, I like that. Good stuff there, guys. Oh, man, this might lead us into a conversation I want to get into anyway. I hate to get myself riled up, but David Keith Williams is trying to do it. He says, at Rod Babers, I have views about the UT's secondary's ability to play well as a group. I have the same views about the offensive line. What's your view on UT rotating their second-team O-line in perhaps one series each half? They seem more comfortable rotating – rotating the DBs and rotating the O-line. I got to go look at it. CJ may have the numbers and know exactly in terms of snaps on the O-line, how many times they rotate. But I don't remember. I don't think they rotate as much as they did the DBs, in my opinion.
Yeah, not even right? close.
So I think it's a different strategy, David Keith, there. They seem pretty set on they're going to rotate the DBs. My only critique has always been, if you're going to rotate the DBs, let's avoid the wholesale rotations where you just put a second group in and start trying to find out different combinations and lineups, almost like basketball, where you're just trying to find effective lineups with different guys who can play different roles. And that's the point of having that versatility you have right now. It gives you solutions. It gives you possible options, solutions to solve problems. And you should be able to mix and match a little bit better than just wholesale rotations with your secondary. And this is kind of, I'm glad we got to it here. So Pro Football Focus, Max Chadwick, I believe is his name. He's one of the data scientists over at Pro Football Focus. Yeah, he's been ranking different position groups all offseason, doing deep dives with the Pro Football Focus algorithms and then their deep dive metrics. So based on their formula, as you can see, Pro Football Focus, maybe Pro Football Focus and Sark been talking, because Sark's higher on the secondary than we are either. He's not concerned about it. And maybe this is why they have Texas as the number six secondary guys in the country behind Ohio State, as you see, in Iowa, Notre Dame, Michigan. They'll play Michigan. Texas will play three teams on this list between Michigan, Georgia, and Oklahoma. We can talk about that. I will say this may be the upside. Maybe this is the ultimate upside of that Texas secondary. And that I'm on board with, that if they play well, they they fix their issues. They find a way to solve some of the systemic problems that have existed in the secondary since Sark has been there. They do that. I could see them becoming a top 10 secondary. I really could. What's more realistic is them probably becoming a top 25 secondary overall, maybe a top 20 secondary. That seems more realistic. But they fix all their problems. If they learn how to defend empty formation, if they are better with leverage defending inside breaking routes, if they learn how to communicate better defending closely clustered groups of receivers, whether you're talking about tight twins, are you talking about trips, are you talking about triangle trips or whatever, however you reduce splits, flex splits, compressed sets, condensed sets, whatever, however you're doing it, when you're talking about closely clustered groups of receiver, Texas is really bad at defending those particular concepts. And they're really bad at defending the deep ball. So it's four things over the last 2 years that have been a persistent problem. They've been problematic and troublesome for the Texas secondary. I can give you numbers, but I would depress you. All right. Watch Football Theory. I'll probably throw them out there. You don't want them numbers. All right. And they're the same issues that popped up in the spring game, the deep ball, inside breaking routes. Hell, Terrence Brooks on one of the first down plays of the game gave up a deep ball of tight twins in cover three. We were supposed to be looking at key in number two, and he was staring down number one like he was looking at cleavage. You know what I mean? Like, so it's the same issues over and over again. And if they fix all of them, they'd probably be a top 10 secondary. My guess is they fix two of the four or something like that. They fix half of them, which is great. And they'll be a top 25, top 20 secondary. But this is, I think, the ultimate upside. Thoughts, gentlemen?
Well, I got, Rod, did you just come up with that line out of off the top of your head? The cleavage line? I want to know. You been practicing that one? Or that?
Yeah, we want things people can relate to. And I think the guys, y'all can relate to that. They can relate. I think everybody can relate to that.
I got to be honest. We circulated this tweet internally amongst our staff here at On Texas Football earlier today. And Texas at number six, I think that there wasn't a one of us that didn't say, really? Really? Six ahead of Georgia? I mean, OU has a better secondary than Texas.
Oh, you said you're pretty good. Yeah.
I mean, so I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, and maybe we're just making a mountain out of a molehill.
Yeah.
I mean, it could literally be that way, but Rod, I see it more like you do, and that they have the pieces. They just got to put the dang puzzle together. And, you know, I will say this. Some of the numbers that get thrown out from last year, 100 and something in pass defense or whatever, they were top 10 in third down percentage.
Mm-hmm.
So situationally, they were good. That's – you know, what's more important, being good overall when you have, you know, people are going to throw the ball all over you, going to try to, when you had those two monsters on the inside stopping the run, because you couldn't run against Texas. I mean, some people just abandoned the thought of it, right? And Kansas State is a power run team, and they said, screw it, in the second quarter. You know, they didn't even try going forward. And so a little bit of those numbers, I think, are misleading or skewed because teams had to be so one-sided against Texas, but the other positive being that they were good situationally.
Yep.
Flesh, I thought.
And they were top 10 interceptions too. They got their hands on a lot of footballs. They got 16 picks last year, and I think we all think that number could go up. I mean, you lost Jaren Thompson, who had they had three interceptions. Terrence Brooks had three interceptions, but Malik Muhammad and Jhené Barron, Makuba. I think they got some guys who can get their hands on the football. So they were better at, you know, making some of those plays in the secondary too. And I was surprised by that. So you're right, Bobby. We talk about them like it's all negatives when it comes to the secondary. We don't reflect on the positives enough. They got their hands on a lot of football. Situationally, they were a whole lot better. We're talking about red zone or third down. So, and honestly, at times for coaches, that's a lot of the times the focus and the emphasis is situations. Not just trying to be elite and great on every down, because that's a fool's errand. You're not going to do that. What you can focus on is situationally having guys comfortable and having guys aware situationally and knowing, you know, exactly what they, as a defense, what they're trying to achieve in those situations. And Texas, I will admit, you're right about that. Third down, red zone, they're one of the better defenses in the country. Secondary, too. Justin wants to know, could y'all compare talent level in this class of recruiters versus last year's? And could y'all get me an official visit? I want to hang with the coaches and check out the Lambos too, says Justin. Justin, thank you very much for the super chat. Yeah, I've never been in a Lambo. I've never been. What's the nicest car you ever been in, CJ? Bobby, what's the nicest car you ever been in?
I got a cheat code in this one. I used to valet at a hotel downtown. Not only did I get to sit in them, I got to whip them around a little bit. So nice. I'll win that conversation, I think. But
give me the best one, CJ. Give me the nicest one you drove then. I want to know.
Some poor soul trusted me with driving his Lamborghini Urus. I mean, that poor guy. Yeah, I did. Listen, I'm a great driver. There wasn't a scratch on it. Personally, if I was driving one of them, I'd be parking it myself. That's all I've got to say.
Nice.
I've got to ask this. How many cars did you scratch and not tell the owner?
Never once. Immaculate driving record. I'll tell you that right now. Immaculate.
Daniel said he drove a Rolls Royce when he worked at a car wash once? He drove a Rolls Royce? That's nice. Oh, yeah. Man, taking the Rolls Royce to the car wash. I like that.
I don't know that, you know,
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
I'm trying to think. The weirdest car I ever tried to drive and I test drove was a Tesla.
I love
it. And they didn't put the they did the automatic accelerator, not the one where it was toned down. And I accidentally hit that thing. And I swear I almost got whiplash going back on that thing because it was just like auto accelerate. It's like a go-kart, you know? But what I would say is, could y'all compare the talent level in this class of recruiters versus last year's? Well, if you're talking about actual coaches as recruiters and not players, because that's a little different story, I think Texas is upgraded overall. They lost two coaches in the offseason. They lost Bo Davis at defensive line, and they lost Jeff Choate at linebacker. Now, Choate was a pretty good recruiter. And Bo Davis was an okay recruit, in my opinion. All right. Kenny Baker is still an unproven recruiter. That's Bo Davis's replacement. But Johnny Nansen has been a, I don't want to say godsend, because that's a little heavy and a little dramatic. But, you know, Texas did sign three guys at midterm in the transfer portal. Every single one of them related to a Johnny Nansen recruitment. Not only did he get Jermaine Lole, who's originally from Southern California, but also Bill Norton out of Arizona. And then you add to that, he was the first person to contact Javion Cole, the DB, the totally different position. Also another guy from California, though, right? And there's no way Jeff Choate would have done that. I mean, I like Jeff Choate as a coach. I think he's going to do a good job at Nevada as their head coach. But to Justin's point, could y'all compare? Look, I think it's the same. I just think they got better. I think they may have, and this would be my hope, like Jeff Banks is Sark's guy on offense to go close the deal, get everything together, make sure I-20 is kind of locked up, et cetera. My hope is that Sark finds somebody like that for him on defense, and then that is Johnny Nansen. So that's my answer, long-winded, Justin. Sorry about that, but that's where I come out of.
That's good. That's a good answer. Yeah, Johnny Nansen, I think he's going to actually add a lot creatively to the defense, too. I've talked about that. So Johnny Nansen, been hell of a hire already, hadn't even really started making an impact on the field just yet, just in talent acquisition. Getting back to it here, thank you guys for all the questions, too. We appreciate it. I know it's a good one. That's AJJ_sports. We're just talking about secondary, so we can kind of wrap this one up quick too. Who do y'all think wins out in the fall, Gavin Holmes or Javion Cole? This is a great question because I will admit I'm not sure. So if I don't want to even sound like overconfident that I know who's going to win that job. I have no idea. And either way, I do think, like we just talked about, there will be rotations of guys in there. We just don't know exactly what the extent of the rotations will be. Right now, I would say it's hard not to lean Gavin Holmes, but I think Javion Cole, I've already seen Gavin Holmes. I'm not going to say I know what he's going to provide, but I've seen enough of him. I would love to be surprised by Gavin Holmes, and I think Gavin Holmes is a good player. I would love to be surprised by seeing him take his game to another level, but I'm not necessarily sure that's going to happen. So, but I do think he's a steady, consistent player. I wonder if Javion Cole can come in and really almost provide some kind of a fresh new take at corner, because they haven't really had a guy that can play off coverage as well as he does. Malik Muhammad is really good in off coverage, but he's better in press. I don't know if Javion Cole can play press. I've seen Gavin Holmes play press and off. I think Javion Cole may be better at off coverage than Gavin Holmes. And I wonder in this system if that could potentially put him over the top. But like I said, they want to play more press. They do. And if they want, like they did in the last three games last year, if they play more press, it's possible Gavin Holmes has the advantage when they're playing press coverage. And so I wonder, like, it all depends on like what they want to play more of. If you're a coach, you know, you kind of tweak the system and your coverages around the players that you have and what they're good at. But to me, it might come down to what do coaches want to do more of, press or let the guys play off, continue to play match quarters, throw in some cover three, even play off man, or if they want to play more press coverage in situations, then which one of those corners is more adept at that? Because I think right now, off coverage, I'll take Javion Cole. Press, I think it's a crapshoot. Remember, I asked Javion Cole about it too. I was like, hey, man, what are y'all, you know, you good at playing press? He said he's good at it. They just didn't play a lot of it. We'll see, because now he'll be going up against the best receivers, some of the best receivers in the country in practice, to prove whether he is an effective press corner at times.
So. Hey, Rod, on Cole, just I want to get your take on this. I was told yesterday that Javion Cole and Santana Wilson right now are still undergoing install. That's what coach is focused on with them right now. You think that makes sense from a timing perspective? They've only been on campus 10 days. But yeah. That still makes sense for you?
Yep. It makes perfect sense because – if you talk about who's going to win the competition, that's the biggest advantage that Gavin Holmes has, is that he knows the system. He knows the checks. He knows the audibles. He has a muscle memory advantage in that regard right now. Now, Javion Cole did say they had a similar system. It seems like the coaches are recruiting guys who are also in a similar system that they like to play, because Caleb Chester said that too, that they use a lot of the same concepts that Texas uses. I'm assuming that that's kind of the match quarter stuff they're talking about in man coverage as well. But I think ultimately when you start looking at, you know, Gavin Holmes, to me, if he wins that spot, I think it'll come back to, man, he was just the guy that knew. He started out better in the competition because he knew the coverages, he knew the system, and he knew even the personnel. And I think he's a little bit more comfortable than Javion Cole would be in the end. So,
just a couple more notes on recruiting. We mentioned Nick Brooks. Lamont Rogers, the big offensive lineman out of the Metroplex, is now in as well, CJ. So a bunch of these guys coming in. Can we bring up, Matt, can we bring up the list of recruits that are in town right now or coming in town? CJ, you're one of those guys that's been bird dogging this. Make sure that the list shows everybody so that we can actually talk about who has confirmed to make it in this week and who is not at this point. CJ, if you don't mind.
Yeah, definitely. One of note, Smith Arogbo, the edge out of Alief Hastings, he made it in by himself. He's making the solo trip down to Austin this weekend. Of course, Texas Tech feels like they did a great job a week ago on his official visit up there. DeCorian Moore is in town. I'll just go from the top. The The top three are in town. Kelshawn Johnson, Ricky Stewart, Corian Moore. Andrew Marsh is making his way in town. Dalen McCutcheon arrived this morning, as did Nick Brooks. Lance Jackson arrived last evening, got to take in the Texas workout this morning. Brandon Brown, the Texas commit, he's on campus currently, just arrived this afternoon. And the big news with Brandon Brown is that he will be taking an official visit to Oklahoma next week. That was not originally scheduled. Instead, he will be making the trip up to Norman next weekend as well. Lamont Rogers has made it into town. Smith Rogbo planning on making it in by himself this afternoon as well. Awaiting the flight arrival of Kevin Wynn out of Atlanta, Georgia, this afternoon. He's probably 30 minutes away from getting in. John Mills made it in last night, as did Riley Pettijohn. Marco Jones arrived. Jonathan Cunningham is in town. Still awaiting Tristan Castro, the California cornerback as well. A few notes, of course, we talked about it a little bit. Orogbo coming in by himself, interesting, interesting of note. Lamont Rogers, his mother, unfortunately, was not able to make the trip down to Texas this weekend for the official visit as well. And I mentioned Corian Moore's host earlier in the show. Originally, I thought that was going to be Colin Simmons. In fact, that is not the case. It's going to be Ryan Wingo, and that was per the request of Corian Moore. So five-star hosting another five-star wide receiver. Good note for Texas as well, if you start, you know, kind of dreaming and wish-casting a little bit more of what the future of the Texas wide receiver room will look like. That'll be Ryan Wingo hosting Corian Moore this weekend, the five-star wide receiver out of Duncanville.
Jerry just texted me, said Kelshawn Johnson is also already on campus as well, CJ, waiting on Jonathan Cunningham, I believe, to see if he's on campus. Haven't heard yet from Andrew Marsh or Ricky Stewart quite yet either. A lot of guys.
All right. Thank you for the update, fellas. Good stuff there. Let's hit a couple of more questions here. And some of these are football related. Casey wants, Huff never let you ride in one of his cars, asked Casey. No, I never rode in one of Huff's nice cars. Every time I see Huff, he's on campus, I never rode in one of Huff's nice cars. And somebody, I think Coach Shipley said, that's kind of where the car thing started. Said when he was back, when he was there, because Huff Daddy had really nice cars, and he would like park the cars right there in front and then let the players kind of oogle at the cars. And then they started, you know, pulling the luxury cars out there. Who knew? That was not a thing, by the way, when Rod B was being recruited. Jeff wants to know here, and this is actually something that kind of we talked about earlier, but we got into the secondary. But Jeff wants to know, so if the starting O-line is Banks, Connor, Majors, DJ, and Cam, who are the backups? How many O-line players do you see getting reps? That is a good question. I mean, how many O-line players do we see getting reps? Usually your O-line rotation is between seven. You'd like the 7-8 guys to be in that rotation, but ultimately you're starting five. You want them to have so much continuity. You want them to have like a hive mind where they all see the same things and think alike. You want them to have a lot of reps together. So they don't necessarily rotate as much guys on the O-line as you think, even though they do have a lot of depth there. What are your thoughts, gentlemen, about how many O-line players do you see getting reps if that is indeed your starting five?
Well, last year it was really five. I mean, to your point, Rod, and CJ, you asked CJ earlier, hey, what was the snap breakdown? Other than when Christian Jones was out for the K-State game and when DJ Campbell went out for a little bit with an injury, that the starting five was the starting five, and they played.
Yep.
Now, they did rotate in Cole Hudson a little bit. I think this year Kyle Flood has made it a known issue that they're going to play – Nato and Cole Hudson a lot more than they did a year ago. Now, how they do it and what the rotation is, do they start getting into a healthy rotation or a healthier one? I don't know, but he's kind of mentioned that, and Sark has mentioned that. They've got more guys now. I mean, before they were just trying to make sure they didn't get their quarterback killed. Now you're talking about a team that has a top five offensive line in college football. So it's just – they're. When Sark first got to Texas, we all remember he did not have enough players or enough offensive linemen to play a true spring game, right? He had to basically have the offensive line rotate on for both teams. Yep. Now they do, and I think they're also older now. You have a guy like Malik Ogbo, Rod. who's running that the bonus tight end, you know, big 11. Yeah, he is a third year guy now. Wow. Right? He's coming. He's come along. He's got some armor on him, as you like to say, right? And so I think they're going to start. You'll see more of that this year than you have in any of Steve Sarkisian and Kyle Flood's previous years in Austin.
Yeah. My one question with this group is, if you do see perhaps a Cam Williams go down, who's that guy at right tackle? Right now, I have to imagine it's going to be Hayden Connor because of the strength of the overall interior offensive line. You have the pieces that you know can get you to where you want to go, and that's Cole Hudson. That's Nato Uniozulu. We saw Hayden Connor very sparingly at times in 2023 bounce out to that right tackle spot when someone maybe rolled an ankle or got dinged up on a drive. So it's not uncommon. We'll see, of course, what kind of steps in this summer development we'll see from Jaden Chapman, Andre Kojo, of course, Brandon Baker coming in as a five-star freshman as well. But I have to imagine the strength and that depth of the interior guys makes that job a whole lot easier for Kyle Flood in terms of finding the two deep at other positions.
Yeah, no, good stuff there. All right, here's another recruiting question. Shake and Bake wants to know, is Lance Jackson a big human at edge? makes Sark look tiny. That dude is long, man. This is the kid that was like a tight end slash edge. Is it the same one I'm thinking about?
Yes, yeah, that's absolutely. Yeah. And that's the same kid that throws 95 on the mound, too. So the length is there. I laughed. I audibly laughed when Jerry showed me this photo earlier today. I knew this was a big kid. I did not know he'd be coming in looking like that. That is a five-star looking edge if I've ever seen one. And boy, does he play like one. Texas got a gem with him committing as early as he did. And it doesn't look like he's one to play the recruiting game. He's locked in. He's ready to go play football as well. But my goodness, that's a big looking human. And it speaks, Bobby, I want to get your take on this as well. It speaks to what we've seen in the transformation of the edge room. You know, we saw Zeno Umiozulu come in at 6'5", 250. We saw Colton Vosick, you know, coming back at 6'5", with length, obviously. Ethan Burke. You know, the quickness is there with the Trey Moore and Colin Simmons, but boy, they're getting the guys that look the part as well.
Yeah, they are. You know, it helps. It they start winning and things, you know, start changing. That's just the way of the world, right? I was talking to someone yesterday about the edge room, actually, a little bit, and I wanted to pass this on because I mentioned it in the Coffee and Football episode this morning. But the person I talked to yesterday said that, you know, the first 2 weeks of spring practice, they were wondering if Colton Vosick would ever be a player at Texas because he'd been injured so much. Was he ever going to come on? And he said, by the end of the spring ball, you may have said that he was the most pleasant surprise on the entire team, much less at defensive end, on the entire team. Somebody called him, he's got a real chance to play on Sunday. And so you add that to a room that already has returning starters in Ethan Burke and Baron Sorrell, has a 14.5 sack guy coming in from UTSA. Justice Finkley, guys, has played a lot of football at Texas. And I'm being told that he's rededicated himself a little bit this offseason.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You add all of that together, and yeah, I think that the edge room looks freaky, and then you add somebody like Lance Jackson to it next year, who's different than Colin Simmons. Colin Simmons is that long, lean pass rusher that can bend the edge, right? You know, Lance Jackson can go through you. That's his move, right? I mean, and so it's just totally different, totally different.
All right. Thank you for the question or the comment, Shaking Bake. We appreciate that. All right. Before we continue getting ready to wrap this thing up, so if you got another question, throw it out there. We'll try to get to it as soon as we can. Let's thank our friends from Flat Creek Estate, because they have, trust me, folks, they have created one of the best wines on the market today. Did you know that one of the most awarded wines in Texas is actually at the vineyard closest to Austin, Texas? That's right. Flat Creek Estate Winery is just minutes from downtown Austin, and they've won award after award this year for their vintage wine, Super Texan. That's what I'm talking about. My wife loves it. Trust me, I can vouch for it. It is fantastic. She's a huge fan. Super Texan is now available at your local spec, so give it a try. Of course, Flat Creek, also a gorgeous venue with barbecues and wine tastings every single weekend. It's perfect for a day date with your significant other. So check it out for yourself at flatcreekestate.com. That's flatcreekestate.com. You can check out the venue, but also you can order wine there as well. You can find out where you can get your Flat Creek Estate Winery and that Super Texan, but go to your local specs and they'll have it there for you. So thank you to Flat Creek Estate for sponsoring the Friday live stream. All right, before we get out of here, guys, just a couple of more questions. How about this one? And this comes from my man David Keith Williams. This is for me. He said, I've been centered on your categories for DBs being disruptors, technicians, or ball hawks. I personally think UT starters need two of those characteristics. What is your view on this? I like you brought that up, David Keith Williams. I was actually doing my Havoc. I was looking at Havoc rates the other day and looking at what players have the most Havoc plays. Havoc plays, splash plays on defense, force fumble, fumble recovery, interceptions, PBUs, tackles for loss. You get it. Jhené Barron last year was tied with – not 2 years ago. 2 years ago, Jhené Barron was tied with DeMarvion Overshown with the second most splash play. I think he had 15 Havoc plays. Prior, I believe Jalen Ford led the team with 19 Havoc plays. I believe he led the Big 12, if I'm not mistaken, actually, in Havoc, if you looked at Havoc plays that year. And then last season, Jhené Barron led Texas in Havoc plays. And second, if I'm not mistaken, was Ethan Burke and Anthony Hill. Those were two. Those are actually only guys returning who have double-digit Havoc plays on their resume from last year. And I'm with you. I think the more ball hawks you have on the field, I talk to Bobby about this all the time. I think there are certain things you can't teach, and you can't teach guys to go after the football. Some guys, they just program their way. That's what they do. And I know that because I wasn't that kind of player. And you bring those kind of players in, and I played with those kind of guys, and you have more of those guys on the field. I played with Derek Johnson. I played with, you know, Michael Huff. I played with Nathan Thatcher. Those guys are ball hawks. They thought ball first a lot of the times. And I played with guys like myself who were played through the man to get to the ball. The ball will take me to the man. Some guys like, no, there's the man will take me to the ball. You know what I mean? They'll tell you, that's how I felt. But some guys are like, no, I'm looking for the ball. Once the ball is in the air, I have a right to it. So I'm glad Malik Muhammad's, I think, going to be one of those guys. Honestly, Michael Taft's got a nice nose for the football. I know people don't, he had three interceptions. I'm not saying he's going to be one of your elite players, but he's got a really nice nose for the football. I think Trey Moore should be on that double-digit Havoc playlist as well next year. So I think you're right about that, David Keith. I would look for those traits in players, especially in your back seven defenders. All right. Thank you for that. Appreciate that. All right. Getting close to the AJJ. Underscore sports was though, hey Bobby, after reading your article about Vasek, how much rotation do you expect to see this year with the edges? A lot of miles to feed this season. This is a great question because I don't know how they're going to rotate the edge. They got six guys at the edge position. Like, now I guess Colin Simmons probably would get the least of those because he's a young prodigy and a freshman, Bobby. But how do you divide that up between Ethan Burke and Baron Sorrell, and then you bring in Trey Moore, and you just talked about Vasek as well being one of those guys. I mean, what's your opinion about how you divide up the reps?
I think that it's a meritocracy. You know, You make the most plays, you make more plays, you play more, right? I will say this. They cross-trained Ethan Burke a little bit last spring at both Buck and Jack. So last year, Ethan Burke played in the boundary. That's the Buck position. And Baron Sorrell played the Jack, which is the strong side, typically the strong side defensive end. Well, this offseason, they had Burke also run some at Jack, as well as Justice Finkley. That gives a couple of guys more time and more allotment at that boundary position. Trey Moore in particular is the guy that I would be looking for there. So when you say double-digit Havoc plays from him, Rod, that kind of makes sense to me. That's also more of what Colin Simmons is early in his career, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's more of that side. Vosdick has been a natural at the jack position, in my opinion. He's much thicker. And so than Burke, for sure, for example. And so I think they'll find a way to get everybody fed. I think what's going to be interesting is what is their best pass rush group? I don't know, other than Sorrell, I don't know that there's a plus guy against the run. Okay, maybe Finkley, but I don't think Finkley is even good enough to be a plus guy. Maybe Vosick could be a plus guy against the run eventually. But that, it's interesting that, you know, what are they going to do when some team goes to double tights against them, right, and tries to jam it down there? You know what? I have a little bit of a question there. I think they can scheme around it, but something to watch for.
Yeah, that's how I wonder if you in those big jumbo sets that Texas will face against Michigan or Georgia or Kentucky, maybe A&M as well. Is it Alfred Collins that you use out wide over the five, over the tackle, and you go
or Lolay?
Or Lole or Norton or Savea or whoever you got on the interior, and you just go jumbo with what you know Alfred Collins can bring you a little bit due to his athleticism? It's a great question, Bobby, because of that edge room, we've talked about it. Getting after the quarterback's great. What happens when you're faced with a 12 or a 22 or a full house look from your opponent opposing offense? That's a great question that we'll have to, I guess, figure out and kind of wait and see what Sarkisian and his defensive staff with PK and Kenny Baker and all of them come up with.
I think you'll have to answer it early because I think Michigan might break it out. I've heard Sharon Moore on coaching clinics talk about using 21 personnel with a fullback, how it makes them more efficient. They might test you. I think you might see some of those power sets early on versus Michigan. So you'll know. At least you'll know before you go in the SEC play because Michigan don't test. all right. Before we get out here, here's maybe the last question. I like this one. This actually comes from the morning, but E. Kim, I thought it was good. This morning from Rockford, Illinois, Jerry and Bobby. With the loss of revenue from House versus NCAA, does Texas actually go and get a corporate sponsor on the field and possibly jerseys too? Remember, there is discussion that the Big 12 is going to have a conference naming rights deal. We know that actually is in the conversation, and I think Allstate right now is the leading candidate to be naming rights sponsor for the Big 12. So it's going to be more and more. NCAA did approve you can have a field sponsor now too. Does Texas take advantage of Campbell Williams Field being sponsored? There's no doubt they do, right?
In talking to Chris Del Conte, you know, now his mind can change, Rod. But he's against anything other than a Longhorn logo and a swoosh on the jerseys.
Okay. Nice.
Number one, he has not said anything about the field, but he said, we like it. We like tradition at the University of Texas.
Yes, they do.
So that tells me that the only change on the field anytime soon is going to be the swapping out the Big 12 logo for the SEC logo like they did. Okay. Yeah. But beyond that, you know, I don't see Texas really having to do that. Not saying they won't eventually to keep up with everybody. But I will say this, and I'm perhaps a little hard on Brett Yormark at times. And look, if this puts $2 million more a year in Baylor's pockets, that they then have to pay out 20% of to athletes, then okay. I mean, maybe that's worth $2 million a year to them, to each of those Big 12 schools. I don't know. I was talking to someone earlier. They're also the Conference USA, Globe Life is getting ready to be their sponsor. So it's going to be Globe Life Conference, not Conference USA. So, you know, all of this to say that kind of stuff and commercialization is coming, and maybe it's just normal. And maybe it should be expected. The problem I have right now with what the Big 12 is doing is by involving private equity potentially in ownership of a conference, you start getting people with stakes in the business that aren't really party to the business.
Yep.
So, you know, oh, we're going to sell 20% of the Big 12 to private equity. That sounds great in theory. Oh, it's free money, everybody thinks. And ain't no free money in life. You know, you got to pay the piper at some point. And that private equity group then gets a seat at the table when you're trying to figure out how, you know, frankly, don't you think Utah might want to leave the Big 12 at some point? Maybe BYU does. Maybe one of these, maybe Kansas does and wants to go to the Big 10. They've always wanted to go to the Big 10. And you start getting third parties involved and you can't unwind deals. I think that may be a bridge too far for me. But the other stuff, I think it's coming whether we like it or not. I don't necessarily think it's coming anytime soon at the University of Texas.
Nice breakdown. Texas actually doesn't need it, but a lot of schools do. A lot of schools need that revenue. All right, thank you, Bobby. Appreciate
Rod,
that.
Real quick, Marco Jones, Tristan Castro. That's your scene right here. He just arrived. Jerry Hamilton just put that up on Twitter. That's the cornerback out of California officially visiting Texas. He kind of popped up very recently on the scene. You see the Cali ties there with the L.A. Lakers shirt on. But he'll be officially visiting the University of Texas this afternoon, of course, departing on Sunday as well. So just wanted to update. Of course, waiting a little bit to hear back from Ricky Stewart and Jonathan Cunningham at the moment.
All right. Thanks for that, CJ. Appreciate all the updates there. And if you want to stay in the know, just keep up with OwenTexasFootball.com, Owen Texas Football live stream, OTFOG. That's right. Become an OTFOG, $39.95 for 1 year, OwenTexasFootball.com. Thank you very much, Matthew, behind the scenes. We appreciate that. Thank you to Bobby Burton. He's the man. Thank you to my man, CJ. Always working on. Look, he's in his car right now, about to get back out there to work. Thank you to Matthew. Can't happen without him. You guys just stay tuned to On Texas Football, the YouTube channel, OwenTexasFootball.com. We'll keep you up to date on everything happening in the recruiting world. Until next time, for Matthew, for my man Bobby Burton, for CJ Vogel, for our sponsors, South Point Dodge and Flat Creek Estate Winery, and for the On Texas Football family. Oh, and happy Father's Day to everybody out there. Hook 'em horns.
Happy Father's Day.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.